welcome all of you here this morning on this nice frosty morning. We appreciate you coming to the Lord's house and being present. Also appreciate those that are listening by radio and then also those that will later listen by the webcast. We pray that each person just receives a special blessing from the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we're reminded that Jesus is coming soon. May we be ready. Father, just as there were some ready to receive him the first time he came, that first Christmas, may we be ready when he comes the second time to claim his church. Lord, I pray for every person that's listening that they might be blessed by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone that's listening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Spirit of God will be convicting, loving, draw them to you. For Father, the more people we can have in heaven, the better it's going to be, the greater it's going to be. We know it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, we pray for a great harvest of souls in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. We welcome you to December. And it's going to be Christmas before you know it. It's certainly looking a lot like Christmas, but we do welcome you this morning. As we do, traditionally we do acknowledge our birthdays and our anniversaries at the beginning of each month. I'd like to share with you now the birthdays for December. Andrea Louder, December the 7th. Ann Barbie, December the 20th. Janice Cole Hopkins, December the 22nd. Grant Hartzell, December the 23rd. Anna Frick, December the 26th. Angela Frick, December the 26th. Robert High, December the 29th. Ted Barbie, December the 30th. And so those are the birthdays that I have. Did I miss anyone? All right. Brenda, if you'll give me a key, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Then our anniversaries for this month will be Robert and Kathy Hyde, December the 18th, and Jason and Karen Linker, December the 19th. We'll give them a round of applause. All right, let's sing a hymn sing this morning, and we're going to start our Christmas music since it's December, and we'll start our Christmas music. You can look at the words here on the board, or you can follow along with the book at page 102. The Birthday of the King, singing both verses. As we stand, please.
Sky.
Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I have some announcements for you today. Since we don't have our bulletins, we'll do it this way until things change and we can get back to some normalcy. But I do have some announcements for you. We will have a call conference next Sunday to appoint Sunday school secretaries for the coming year. We also want to add to that that we also want to consider additions to the children's home offering. We have done such a wonderful job this year, but we do want to talk about that at conference, and so be prepared for that as well. I want to talk to you a little bit about Christmas cards. The Christmas cards will need to be here by next Sunday, 12:13. Please don't bring the cards after that date and put them in the boxes or anything like that. They won't be sorted if you bring them late or be given out due to the COVID virus protocol. Unfortunately, we still have to live with that. We do go by the best science that I know how to do. Sanctuary service will continue the way we're doing it now, begin at 10 o'clock each Sunday, and we'll do it this way. And I think you all are following right along, and we're doing a great job with this service. Wednesday night prayers, Bible study and prayer service at 6:30. I want to make some good announcements to you, positive announcements as well. Our total gift for the West Stanley Christian Ministries was $2,900, and the church gift was $2,300, and our donations from you all of $600 made this a day of giving possible. Thank you all for a fantastic reaction. God bless you. Want to bring you up to date on children's home offering. We received another $1,305 last Sunday for the NC Baptist Children's Home offering for a grand total now of $4,550. God bless you. Amen. The gift baskets are ready downstairs. Thank you for Tanya and Tamara and Lionel for your hard work and for what you've done down there. It's just a beautiful thing to see everything you've done. So the deacons will be distributing these baskets next week. And so, again, thank you all for your generosity that made that happen as well. And we'll give Tamara and Lionel. Thank you. Amen for that. Now, under the tree here are the gift of pajamas going to the nursing home. And you can see, Pam, when you first started this project, the Lord just got a hold of it, didn't he? And just blessed it.
Amen.
And it's just a beautiful, and see how this has grown and how things have happened there. That we just thank you again. We just thank you all for what you've done for that. And I'm going to stop there and just say what a magnificent time I have witnessed this Christmas season already with your generosity and with your giving from all the things that you've been asked to do. And now we've got Lottie Moon. And so that's coming up too. So thank you all, and God bless you all. What a beautiful, beautiful consideration you all from the heart have done when giving. It's been a beautiful thing. So thank you so very, very much. That's all the announcements I have at this point. Is do anyone have anything you want to add?
Let me add a couple of things. One, there's Lottie Moon envelopes right here, and there's a brochure that goes with a week of prayer for the Lottie Moon that you can pick up and read about some of the things that the money's going for.
Amen. Okay. Yeah, let's not forget Lottie Moon. That's such an important love offering. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Lionel.
I make a comment for our generosity. It's just how God works. The past week, one of my friends came to our church and said that they had never seen a bill that came up within $50 of what our offering was.
Yeah. God is good, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That'll make you all feel blessed and feel good. It really does. Blesses my heart. Let's consider the prayer requests I have for us today. First, I wanted to give you an update on Betty Davis after her heart attack. She's back home. She got home yesterday. Scott called me. I told him to let me know as soon as they got in the door or quickly as they could. We want to know. He called me and said she's in her recliner with her feet up and doing well, resting. So praise the Lord that Betty is home and doing well. Just received note that Neil Jackman has fallen and that the ambulance is up there now as we speak. And I don't know what her conditions. You got an update, okay? Okay, yeah, she sent it to me too, and I just couldn't read it while I was. So she's okay.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's remember Jay Julius. Jay Julius, he's having some back problems. He's been at Duke for outpatient treatment last week, and as I understand from talking with Jay, he's in a lot of pain. And it's more pain management than anything right now until they find out how they can find a way to help him. Let's remember Miss Rosina. Miss Rosina is missing today back there. She's always here, and she's missing back there today. She's sick, and I really don't know what the condition's going to be or what's wrong, but we just know that she's not feeling well at all. Let's lift up Miss Rosina in our prayers today. Jeff Kay is with us today, and looks like he's on the mend. He's got the Alabama shirt on, so he's asking for trouble to begin with. But anyway, he's here, and looks like he's feeling great this morning. Brother Jeff, we certainly glad to have you back. And while we're talking about the blessings and praise reports, it's good to know that Miss Stacy is back at full. I talked to her, and she seems to be doing very well from her surgery, so thank God for that. Let's keep on remembering Nicole Johnson, as she battles cancer, and we want to remember her. And Reggie Burris, he's from this area here, and he's in the hospital, and we don't really know what his condition is. We just know that Reggie is not doing well. So let's pray.
He was actually home Friday.
Did he go home?
Yes. I didn't feel him Friday unless he went back yesterday. He was doing something.
Okay. There. Well, that was... Well, praise God. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Keep on remembering Don Whitley. Don, he's weak and weaker when we talk to him, and I can tell he is, so remember him. Keep praying for Brother Tony Eford back there, as he's getting better all the time. Tony, good to have you with us, and I know that God's going to bless you and get you back to your normal degree of health. Let's remember the COVID victims that we have in our county and the world. As far as that goes, it's just a pandemic like none other than you've ever seen or heard of before. And let's keep on praying. Thank you all for what you all do here. And as we continue to worship and do what God would have us to do. Yes.
The update on Sheila Bolton, that is a huge praise report.
Okay, go ahead.
She actually was took off of the ventilator on Friday. They've got her on a regular trach tube, and she is responding with eyes and trying to move her mouth. Her hands are somewhat open.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I believe that. Wonderful.
Brinley, in fact, shared with me last night. I think that Tabitha's wing picked up Mr. Beal a couple of times this week, but they're even trying to set her up in a chair some.
That's great.
She is little by little, so keep praying.
Wonderful.
And Leonard, Mama is fine.
Yeah, I just got the good word.
God, she tried to pick something up off the floor, and the walker got out from underneath her, and she slid down onto the kitchen floor. She just has a little scrape on her elbow, but she's good. Will is babysitting her right now, and she's enjoying that. But she's not hurt. Praise God. Praise God. They broke her bones.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Janice.
I don't know if this is why Ann's out today, but she was diagnosed with aphid this week, and they put her on some medication, and she doesn't do well with medication of any kind. But she went to work yesterday, but I don't know what's going on today.
Okay. We'll lift her up and pray for her. Sure will. It's good to have our visitors with us today. Always good to see you. God bless you. Good to have you with us today. We certainly welcome you here to be a part of our service today. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings, many blessings you give us each and every day. And God, as I say often, Lord, before I ask you for anything today, it's time to say thank you. Thank you for the ones that are here and for their health. Thank you for the praise reports that we've heard already this morning. We are so thankful and so grateful to you, Lord. But Lord, there are those that continue to need help. And Lord, we pray for them and we want to lift them up to you personally. We pray for Betty Davis as she's home recuperating. We thank you for the praise report that she has returned home after the heart attack. But Lord, we do pray for her and lift her up to you. Thank you for the good news we've heard from Miss Nail. Lord, we pray for Jay Julius as he is in a lot of pain and he's experiencing problems as he goes in and out of the hospital at Duke. We pray for him. Lift up Miss Rosina to you today, Lord, as she's homesick. We pray for her better health. Thank you for the praise report from Brother Jeff Kay. As he is getting better and recuperating, we thank for him. We pray for Miss Lori, too, as she has been a great caregiver throughout this. We thank you for Stacy's recuperation from her surgery. Nicole Johnson, we keep praying, Lord, and lifting her up to you as she battles the cancer. We pray for her. Lord, we also pray for, thank you for good news. Reggie Burris has returned home. But then, Lord, there's Don Whitley, Lord, who seems to be getting weaker, Lord, but you know what he needs. And Lord, we pray for your will and your guidance as he battles the cancer. Continue to pray for Tony and give him strength, we pray. We pray for Miss Bolton, Lord, and Lord, with good, great news that she's experiencing, Lord, what a praise report it was. We pray for her. We lift up Miss Ann Barbie to you today, Lord. We don't know her condition, but we pray for her that she's, while she's out today, that we lift her up to you in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Barbie's Grove Baptist Church and for each one of our members, Lord, and for those visitors we have today. We pray a special blessing upon us, Lord, as we go forward in the service today. We ask a blessing upon Kathy as she comes and she shares with us. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We ask that you would bless him today as he comes with a lead through the message to us today. And now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that whatever we do today, we'll always remember to give you the honor and the glory for it all. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right, let's do this. Let's sing another Christmas song. It's a praise song, and I like good praise music. And it's page 106, and no, it's not either. It is, it is 106. I'll be all right as soon as I can read. You do know, those of you that wear glasses, this is fun, but those of you that wear glasses and you try to deal with a mask, when I looked down just now, I just went, so anyway, I couldn't read the number. So, but I'm okay now. So, page 106, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, as we sing together, and you may stand again if you like to do that, please.
Little knowing, Christ obeyed.
Kathy, if you would come, please, and bless our hearts with some Christmas music, music of the season.
I had the video ready to for Wes to show if I didn't make it back, that things were more serious with Mom. You may wish that I had the video instead of me. I want to tell you a little bit about this song. This song is one of my all-time favorite songs by one of my favorite artists. His name is Stephen Curtis Chapman, if you've heard of him. He's a wonderful man of God. He is a little bit more on the contemporary side. But God has been putting this on my heart all week to sing. And unfortunately, I could not find a soundtrack, and I'm not really good enough to play the piano and sing. It's good enough for me just to play the piano. I'm throwing in the singing will make it a lot worse. So tried to do some creative stuff and ended up finding the song. I downloaded the sheet music, and lo and behold, it had an interactive thing where it could play. So I sent it to Wes, and I said, can you do something with it? And he said, yes, I can. And so he is. And I'm telling you, we're so blessed to have him and his talent and creativity. I tell you, he comes through a lot for me. But the title of the song is called This Baby. Now, we just sang about infant lowly, infant holy. And we talk a lot about Jesus as a baby. And then we talk a lot about Jesus as a grown man. But we need to remember that in the scriptures, Jesus was a child and a young adult and a young man, just like each one of us. He went through all the stages of life. And so when, you know, you're a teenager and you feel like you don't fit in, well, you know, Jesus didn't fit in either. And his parents even left him for a little while until they found him back in the Father's house studying the scriptures and talking with the elders. So there's a lot of times when we feel like maybe, you know, we're by ourselves or we're not. Jesus is right there. He's been through every step of the way with us, and he can relate with us because he's been there. And so that's kind of the thought of this song. So if you'll just pray for me as I sing.
This boy was like no other one. This This boy was God with us. This boy was Jesus. Love made him laugh. Death made him cry. With the life that he lived and the death that he died, he showed us heaven with his hands and his heart. This man was like no other one, holy and human, right from the start. This baby when the angels sing, and this baby made a new star shine in the sky. This baby had come to change the world. This baby was God's own son. This baby was like no other one. This baby was God with us. This baby was Jesus. This baby was Jesus. This baby was Jesus.
Thank you, Kathy. And you know, it's not always easy to get up and sing or to preach or to teach after you've gone through the trauma with your mom. We appreciate you being here. A whole lot's better than if you had to come and I'd had to sing. See, I try not to sing too loudly because Leonard's right here and I'm right here whenever we're singing those songs. And yeah, that's why he gets off sometimes. You remember when we did the Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes, we prayed over them before they went out so that they might be blessed and they might be a blessing to the individuals, and we prayed that each person that got them would be the exact person that needed what was in that box. I want to pray over the pajamas as they go out to be a blessing. So at this point, I can't lay hands on all of them, but just to pray over them. Father, thank you for the gift that this represents all under the tree, these pajamas for the residents of a nursing home. Father, I pray that when they put them on, they will feel the love of the people of Bombarby's Grove. I pray that they will feel the love of Jesus. Father, I pray that they will feel comfort and peace. And Father, I pray that if there's one resident that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that there'll be such an anointing on that particular pair of pajamas that their heart might be quickened. And I pray that somebody will come into that nursing home and share the good news of Jesus. And because their heart has already been quickened by the Holy Spirit, that they'll accept Jesus before it's too late. Father, I thank you that even as you used the Apostle Paul and aprons and handkerchiefs that went out from him to be a blessing, I pray that these might be a blessing. And again, Lord, I thank you for the generosity and the love that gave them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you know, it's never too late for somebody to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. I've shared how Pam and an associate pastor's wife from the church in Tulsa went and visited this couple that were in their late 90s. First time they went, their minds were a little clouded and they didn't do anything but have a visit. Second time they went, it was a clear moment for both of them, and they both accepted Jesus. Within 6 months, they were both in glory. For 90-some years, the devil thought he had them. But at the last, the Holy Spirit brought them into the family of God. It's never too late. It's never too late. You know, with all the COVID things that are going on, governors in most states have made mandates about masks and which businesses could be open and which businesses could be closed. And it's been quite an ordeal for the last 9 months or so. I saw something in my news, a little headline that said, you know, people are getting a little irritated about the dictatorial decrees that some governors are making. And I talked with a pastor from another state recently, and he has a fairly large church. And he said, you know, said, I'm not sure I'm going to go along with the governor next time around in our state. Said he leaves the abortion clinics open and closes the churches. And he leaves some other things open that are questionable and closes the churches. Said I'm not sure my church is going to pay any attention to what he says next time around. Well, now I don't know. I don't keep up with the news from that particular state that often, so I don't know what's going on there. But I know that there are little things that are going on all around us. And one of the things I heard was that there's a certain governor that said he didn't mind closing the churches because churches were only social clubs anyway. In fact, he was glad to close the churches because churches were just social clubs. But what is a social club? Well, it's a group of people that get together for fellowship. It's a group of people that sometimes get together because of business connections. You know, I join so I can meet up with other people and we can enhance each other's business. And a lot of times a social club has a purpose. You know, years ago I was a member of the Lions Club for a few months and we put out the flags on Veterans Day and other special holidays, and they have had a project for working with the blind and sold brooms so that they could give money for the blind. They, you know, and they had some projects. And some churches, probably all they are is a social club. I mean, you know, the people get together, they fellowship, they may do a little project, but that's it. But you know, in recent months, we've been looking at the New Testament church. And if you look at the New Testament church, it was more than a social club. The New Testament church was a group of people that had had a dynamic encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And they walked in and lived in the supernatural. They walked and lived in the supernatural. And we're going to do a flying trip through part of the New Testament to just remind ourselves of what I mean by that expression. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. First few verses of chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them a power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the town,
preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus calls the 12 in and he says, guys, I'm sending you out with a special dispensation to preach the gospel, to give them the good news, and to touch and change their lives by the power of God. And they went out, and the scripture says they did it. All right, flip over one chapter to chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth the laborers into your harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace will rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you. Verse 9, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And then in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Okay, he starts out with the 12. Then he says, another 70. And he gave them the same anointing, the same power. He sent them out with the same instructions. Go out and preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and touch the bodies and deliver and minister to those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are demon-possessed. And says they came back all excited and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us when we use your name. Now keep that 70 in mind in a few moments. Flip over to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Spirit of God. These ordinary people, just like you and me, they had been gathered, they had seen the risen Christ, they had spent time in the upper room praying and seeking the will of God, and then that which Jesus had promised them happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then if you also in that particular chapter 2, when you get to verse 37, Peter had been preaching, and he says, after they had heard Peter preach, they were pricked in their heart and said, what? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Spirit-filled preaching brought great salvation. It brought a conviction. It brought a change of heart. It brought people under such a conviction that they said, what do we understand we got a problem. What do we need to do? And he says, you need to believe in Jesus. And 3,000 people gathered that day and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. An awesome move of the Spirit of God, because they were filled with the Spirit and preached a Spirit-filled message. Thousands coming into the family of God. Well, flip over another chapter, chapter 3. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried when they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Great power of God to heal this man that had laid by the gate of the temple for weeks, months, years. And the power of God, and notice, Peter and John did not say, "Boy, we are something." They said, "We don't have anything but except in the name of Jesus." They were walking in the supernatural because of Jesus. Not because of who they were or because they were such hot shots, but because of Jesus, and because of the Jesus in them, they walked and lived in the supernatural. You go over to chapter 4. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together. They were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, the background of this is that they had been commanded not to preach and teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, "Oh, no." They didn't call their lawyer, they didn't call the mayor, they didn't call anybody. They went back and they got on their knees and they began to pray and seek the face of God, and it says the building shook. And when the building shook, the Spirit of God filled them again, and it says they preached with boldness. Even though they'd been told not to preach, even though they'd been told to keep their mouth shut, not to talk about Jesus, it says they preached Jesus with boldness. They were living in a supernatural life. Go over another chapter to chapter 5. I mean, this is a regular occurrence in the book of Acts. Verses 14, 15, 16. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many? Every one. Now, I find that's interesting. You know, the people come up and say, "Which way's the sun shining?" Because Peter's coming by here after a while, and I want to be over here where the sun's shining over his shadow is going to come right over me and heal me. Is that not awesome? Is that not awesome? That people had to pick out which side of the street to lay on so that the shadow of Peter would be on them when he passed by, going to the temple or going wherever he was going, because they knew that even the very shadow of Peter carried a power. Now, earlier this kind of thing had happened with Jesus, but now it's happening with Peter. He was living in the supernatural. He was walking in the supernatural. And then it says they brought the people in from all around the area that had problems, and they were all healed. It didn't say a few of them. It says all of them were healed. Now, at this point, you're probably saying, "Well, now, preacher, I agree with everything you just said because it's right there in the Bible." But, preacher, all of those folks were apostles. And I'm not an apostle, so that leaves us out. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know there's probably somebody here at least thinking that. But now, wait a minute. Before you get too complacent, before you get saying, well, we're left out, first, think about that Luke 10 crowd. They weren't apostles. It was just 70 people who were following Jesus. But let's go a little further. Don't raise your hand. I know who you are. Any deacons in the house? Any ordinary lay people in the house? Let's keep reading our Bibles. Now, if you think I'm making this up, you can get your Bible out. Mark these down and go back and read them again this afternoon. If there's any deacons in the building, any lay people in the building, Acts chapter 6. And verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. The word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now here, what we call the first deacons. And notice especially Stephen and Philip, because we're going to read more about them later. These are those first deacons. They weren't original apostles, they were deacons. Now, what did Deacon Stephen do? Verse 8. Of chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He wasn't an apostle. He was a deacon. He did great wonders and power, miracles among the people. Well, of course, they got him stoned. They got him stoned, but he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, forgive them. Now, go on over. Let's see what Deacon Philip did. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord... Okay, no, but let's back up. Go back to 8 verse 5 first. 8, 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and what? Seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of the many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. You see, Philip, led by the Spirit of God, goes to Samaria. He preaches Jesus, and great powers, evidence, and great joy comes because Philip, as a deacon, walked in the supernatural. Now, when you go over to verse 26, you know, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go down into the south, into the way of, goeth down into Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he went, and behold, you know, the scripture tells us he met the Ethiopian eunuch. He explains to him from the book of Isaiah about Jesus. He baptizes him. And then it says in verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Go back to verse 39. And they were come up out of the water after he baptized the Ethiopian. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. Philip was translated. It's like, Philip's here, and then he's here. You say, now, preacher, that is not possible. Are you sure? Can God not do miracles? I've got a book among all of my many, and I've been looking to find this story, but it's by a very reputable evangelist. And he just finished a revival, and he gets a phone call that he's needed at a hospital about a 2-hour drive away. And it's right on the way home. He's got about a 6-hour drive home. But that the person he needs to see is going to die in the next few minutes. And he says, well, you know, I'm 2 hours away. I can't get there. He gets in his car, starts up. 5 minutes later, he's driving in the parking lot of that hospital. He goes in and he ministers to, and I've forgotten whether the person's healed or whether he's saved. But anyway, he goes in and he does the ministry that he needs to do, because he goes from point A to point B, a 2-hour drive, in 5 minutes. Now when he gets out of this, he says, now Lord, I still got a 4-hour drive home. How about doing that again? But it doesn't happen again. He's not needed at home that fast. So he says he had to make the 4-hour drive home. But at least in that particular moment, God did that for him and for somebody that was in great need. You see, God did what needed to be done. Well, somebody's sitting here saying, well, that leaves me out. I'm not a deacon. Go over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You remember Paul's on his way to Damascus. He has this encounter with the risen Jesus, and he's blind. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Would you qualify there, a certain disciple? That pretty much gets the rest of us. A certain disciple named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, but Lord, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision the man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem, and how he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call his name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hand on his said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now see, Ananias was just as a disciple, a certain disciple. And he received supernatural revelation of what house to go to, at what street, who he was going to see, and what he was going to do. And he, though he was fearful, he went and it happened. You see, the early church, the apostles, the the deacons, ordinary disciples, lived and walked in the supernatural. Now, if we read all of this and say, oh, now, preacher, that's wonderful. That is fantastic, preacher, that that all happened back then. That's wonderful history. Then we missed the point. God never said that all that was going to stop. You say, well, the day of miracles is past. Well, let me ask you, are you saved? Greatest miracle that ever happened to you was when you got saved. You went from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. You went from under the control of Satan under the control of the Spirit of God. You went from being evil to being pure in the eyes of God. Greatest miracle. You may have been healed from cancer. You may have been healed from heart disease. You may have been gone from being broke to being a millionaire. But the greatest miracle that ever happened to any one of us was our salvation. So if the day of miracles is past, you aren't saved. If you're saved, then there's still a day of miracles. And is faith past? How many times in the Bible, like the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. I have not seen such great faith, not in all of Israel. As long as men and women live in faith and choose to live by faith, miracles are still a possibility. They are still a possibility. And you see, if we just read our Bibles and say, well, that was great way back then, then the governor's right. We're just a social club. But if we read our Bibles as a challenge and an inspiration that says, God did it then, and God wants to do it again, and God wants to do it with us, then we become the same type of supernatural organization that we read about in the New Testament. Now, there are places all over the world where the New Testament church is being duplicated. Thousands of people are being saved. Multitudes are being healed. Demons are being driven out. Supernatural occurrences are happening, not so much in the United States as in other parts of the world, but in some places here in the United States. My challenge to you is to read your Bible with an open mind, led by the Spirit of God, and say, Lord, do it with us. Lord, do it with us. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same when, yesterday, today, forever. Well, if Jesus hasn't changed and he's still head of the church, then Jesus is still doing today what he did back then, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do forever. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. The devil still bows at the name of Jesus. And the power of God is still available. Now, if the devil could convince us that it's not for us, and it's not going to happen for us, then he's got us. and we become that social club. But if we will let the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to build our faith, we can become a powerful, life-changing community that the devil hates and the Lord loves. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is to be the most powerful force in the community. Not because we're anybody special, but because He is special and He lives in us. He is special and He lives in us. And when we allow Him to live in us in all of His glory and all of His power, He changes lives. Now it takes faith and it takes commitment. And sometimes it takes just plain old stick-to-itiveness. There's a guy who's since passed away, but I've heard his testimony. I've heard him preach and teach. I've got some of his books. He said when he and his church first came to this revelation, they started praying for the sick. And said, you know, for 6 solid months, not a single person got healed. He said, in fact, as we prayed for the sick, we caught their colds and flu. But their stick-to-itiveness and their commitment to what the Word of God said, they didn't quit. And at the end of that 6 months, or approximately, God began to manifest Himself in their midst. And many lives were changed. And I've seen people healed as He preached and ministered. Commitment. It all comes down to this. Is this true or not true? And do we believe it or not believe it? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your marvelous word. I thank You that You had a group of people who believed and lived in the supernatural. And Father, I pray that You might excite in our hearts. Do it here. Do it in Stanley County. Do it in North Carolina. Do it in the United States. Lord, just as You brought glory to Yourself over and over and over again, where people said, look at what God has done. Lord, where those could proclaim, those folks that have turned the world upside down, they've come to our town also. Jesus turned North Carolina upside down with Your power and Your glory, through a group of people that will believe, honor, and live Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Think about it. Think about it. Pray about it. Act on it. Thank You for coming.